Welcome to Word and Sacrament, the sermon podcast of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri. I'm Jason Glaske, Director of Christian Education. Each week, you'll hear Pastor Christopher Ramstead preach from the Word of God, grounded in Scripture, centered on Christ, and shaped by the Lutheran confessional tradition.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A blessed Pentecost Sunday to each and every one of you. A brand new season of the church year, the longest season of the church year, though it's red today. It'll be green in a couple weeks, and then we stay green for a long time. I had someone tell me after first service, I'm anxious for the green. It begins today, Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. Last week, we celebrated 40 days, our Lord's ascension on the Thursday before. And what we found is that those 10 days in between, the disciples have been waiting at the command of their Lord. Wait, stay in Jerusalem until what is promised comes. And Jesus has been promising them a helper, an advocate, a paraclete, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then it happens. A sound fills the whole home where they are, that rushing wind. And after the kids talk today, I don't think I'll ever picture that sound ever again besides papers flapping back and forth. That was pretty cute. Tongues of fire come and rest upon their heads. And speaking of tongues, they speak in tongues. They start speaking in all kinds of different languages and dialects as the Spirit gave them utterance and ability. And this spills out. I want you to notice something about Pentecost. They don't just stay in the house. This spills out into Jerusalem to the point where the community starts to take notice. After all, the Jews were gathered there in Jerusalem for one of those three pilgrimage festivals. This was the Feast of Weeks. The Jews were there celebrating the harvest festival, particularly the wheat harvest. They were giving thanks to God for everything that he had given. And while they were there, they gave thanks to him for his law. That's what they would remember. They'd remember the law given by Moses, and there was great celebration in the gifts of God. As all the Jews were gathered here celebrating, is it any wonder that it's this day that God sends down his Spirit? Celebration of everything that God has given. And the reaction of the people? It's a mixed bag, isn't it? It's a little bit of all over the place. Some of them just really don't know what's going on. What is this, they say. There's some amazement. They're speaking in different languages. And aren't these Galileans? That's not a nice phrase, by the way. That's like saying, aren't these the uneducated ones, right? And yet they're speaking in our native languages. They're speaking in our dialects as if we were still back home again. In fact, there's a little bit of the reverse of the Tower of Babel story from Genesis. Those people that were scattered because of their hubris of building a tower toward heaven, now God has brought them together, united them in his work and his word. Others, they look out at what's happening here, and what do they say? They're filled with new wine. What's going on here on Pentecost? It makes me think of my favorite basketball player. Number 23, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, of course. And I want you to picture a much younger pastor, probably about Paul's age, maybe 7 or 8 years old. I had the hat, the Michael Jordan hat, and the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls t-shirt, and the foam basketball set that I could dunk just like Jordan could. At least that maybe that was just in my head. But you know, as much as we lift him up as the GOAT, we remember he had 1 year and he didn't play basketball at all. He played baseball. In fact, he took a season and he went to a team called the Birmingham Barons, a minor league feeder team for the White Sox. It wasn't a great year for the GOAT. In fact, his average, I had to look this up, 202. Ooh, not a great baseball player. But it allowed the GOAT to do something fantastic. To film the greatest movie of all time. And that's Space Jam. And to my own shame, I don't think my kids have seen the greatest. Have you seen this? Oh, we're going to have a movie night tonight anyways, yeah. If you've never seen this movie, Michael Jordan gets sucked into Looney Tunes land to play basketball with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Porky Pig and Tasmanian Devil and my favorite Looney Tune, Wile E. Coyote. But there's a problem. They're just no good. They're not good at basketball. In fact, they're matched up against a team of monstars, huge, athletically talented. They're outsized, outskilled, and they're just overall a mean basketball team to go against. In fact, halftime comes in the movie, and the GOAT tries to give our Looney Tunes a pep talk. They're feeling low and defeated, and that's when Bugs Bunny pulls out something special. And this will tell me if you've truly seen this movie or not. He pulls out a red and blue water bottle that has a label on the top, and it says, Michael's Secret Stuff. Michael's Secret Stuff. And if you remember, they take that water bottle, they start passing it around, they're squirting it in their mouths, and they get jacked, they get huge, they get excited to go out and even tie it up in the second half. Michael's Secret Stuff. It makes all the difference. It turns everything all around. But the question, what's in the bottle? What is it really? What's behind all this success? I have the feeling that that's kind of the same question that we have here on Pentecost Sunday. This mixed bag of reception, they want to know, what is going on here? Those that yell out, they're filled with new wine. What have these disciples been fermenting recently? And it must be good if it's only the third hour of the day. That's 9 a.m. in the morning. No, rather, Peter stands up and he boldly proclaims good news to them. Talk about a change. 50 days have gone by, and talk about a change for Peter from denying disciple to powerful proclaimer of the word and the name of Jesus. In fact, Peter's going to take us all the way back to the Old Testament prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it's happened. Peter tells them it's happening right now in your midst. This is the reason we get that Old Testament reading today from Numbers chapter 11. Moses and the elders, right, they're meeting there in the tent of meeting, and we've this passing of the Spirit in a limited terms in the Old Testament, and yet there are two men that aren't there with them, Eldad and Medad, and as the Spirit is being passed, word comes to Joshua, even Eldad and Medad are prophesying down in the camp, to which Joshua says to Moses, "Stop them!" What does Moses say? No, would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. It's happened. Pentecost. Dear friends, that includes you and me. We have reason to celebrate on this day, and we have to admit, it's kind of an odd day in the church year. It doesn't have the fanfare of a Christmas. It doesn't have the hallelujah celebration of an Easter, but it is worthy of our celebration this morning. God comes down. It's God's Spirit for His people. Emmanuel, God with us. This is a God who is with us. So what is this Spirit? What's in that Michael's secret stuff? Maybe that's the question we have of our spirit today. It's not always easy to describe, not always easy to answer that question. In fact, we're going to dive deeper into this on Trinity Sunday next week. And we look at that Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. And it's not always easy to talk about, as we're going to see. God the Father, remember that moment with Moses? Moses says, God, I want to see your glory. And what does God say? No one can look at me, but you can see where I've been. You can see where I've passed through. Kind of odd for Moses, maybe odd for us as readers. God the Son, when we talk about Jesus, John describes him in the first chapter of his gospel account, the Word, the true light. In fact, there's times where John just kind of throws up his hands. He says, you know what? If we wrote it all down, it wouldn't fit in all the pages of the world. So maybe we give ourselves a little bit of grace here on Pentecost Sunday when it comes to this idea of figuring out the Spirit. God is God, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about what the Word says about the Spirit. Peter gives us this direction. We can go to God's Word and hear what this Spirit does. First of all, we hear the Spirit is promised. It's a promise from Jesus. It's a promise through God's Word. The prophet Joel prophesied hundreds of years earlier. Moses looked forward to this day where God would pour out his Spirit on all people. This is not an unexpected surprise on Pentecost. Rather, this is the fulfillment of God's word on display. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a free gift. It's given freely, a gift of grace from God to his people. In fact, we get a really interesting story that goes along with this. It's Simon the magician, Acts chapter 8. And if you don't know this story, Simon's doing magic tricks for all the people. He's doing some amazing things. And all of a sudden, Peter comes along baptizing people. The Holy Spirit is put on them. And Simon the magician says, I want that, right? Give me that. How much does it cost? What does Peter do? He calls him to repentance. You can't buy this. It's not for sale. It's a free gift given in your baptism. The Holy Spirit is outside of ourselves, yet placed in you by your heavenly Father in baptism. Paul would write about it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. His Spirit is placed in you. And God is pleased to share his Spirit with you. This has always been part of his divine plan for you and for me. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It's not subdued. Remember what Jesus promised last week? Dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that can be for big faith moments or it can be for those small moments every day as we talked about the fruits of the Spirit on display for our neighbors. The Holy Spirit comes with purpose. It's purposeful. There's a power there that can be easily seen by those around us. We can see that on Pentecost. They take notice right away, don't they? What's going on here? I wonder in your life, can your friends see it? Can your neighbors see it? Your coworkers? There's something different about you. You are set apart. You are filled with God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is useful, helpful to you, even more helpful to your neighbor. In fact, too often, this is where the church has gone wrong. When we talk about the Spirit, sometimes we talk about incoherent babbling or putting too much weight on specific gifts like tongues. Actually, Paul talks against this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If with your tongue you utter speech that is unintelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you'll be speaking into the air. Paul says that kind of gift is meaningless. It's meaningless. No, rather the Spirit builds up our neighbor. The Spirit is helpful to the church and to God's people. Spirit's not just for you. It's meant to be shared. The disciples do this on Pentecost. Again, it doesn't just stay in the house. It spills out into the Jerusalem community. In fact, we get the reaction of the people as it does. We hear them telling us in our own tongues, the mighty works of God. What more mighty work of God is there than the story of Jesus? As your pastor tells you quite often, the Holy Spirit's job, it's not about pointing to ourselves. It's about pointing to him. That's the mighty work of God on display, that God would send his Son to die for you upon a cross, to rise again, that you would have life and a new life, everlasting life in his name. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit does throughout all of our life with everyone around us, that we would point them to Jesus. And last but not least, this Holy Spirit, this is not just a Pentecost thing. The Holy Spirit is not just something that has happened in your past. This is a daily thing. Listen to a great quote from Luther. I believe this was preached on a Pentecost Sunday. Luther said, "Now we are only halfway pure and holy. The Holy Spirit must continue to work in us through the Word, daily granting us forgiveness until we attain that life where there will be no forgiveness." Martin Luther would tell us in the meaning of the third article of the Apostle Creed, one of the chief jobs of the Holy Spirit, he keeps you in the one true faith. Life in the Spirit, it's not just a thing of the past. This is a daily thing, where daily you are forgiven of all your sins in the name of Jesus, your Savior. Where daily you are reminded that you are a new man or a new woman in your baptism. What is this Spirit? Well, there's a lot when it comes to